And a very good morning to you. How you doing? Sunday morning, the 28th of June, 2020. Richie Allen with you live from Salford in Greater Manchester. Sunday View, going to take a look through the Sunday newspapers, and we'll hear from the, we'll hear some clips from the mid-morning talk shows as well. Lovely as always to have your company this morning. Tweet the programme between now and the end of it, and I'll be reading your tweets out as we go along.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
And I love it, so I do. I love it.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
It's been a nice old weekend, so it has. It's been a nice weekend, a little bit cooler. We've had quite a bit of rain. We had thunderstorms over the weekend, but a welcome relief after last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I'm in good form, because I don't do very well when it's really warm. How did you live in Spain, you big baldy backstard? I get asked this question all the time. How did you put up with nearly, well, eight and a half years in Spain? Aircon. It's as simple as that. When it's July, August, even September, you just retreat into your apartment or your place of work, which is air-conditioned, and you don't really notice. That is mad. And when you go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning in Spain in July, and it's still 28 degrees at 1 o'clock in the morning, you just turn the aircon on. So I never really acclimatized, really. I killed the planet. I did my part in murdering the earth when I lived in Spain. Yes, indeed. Good morning. And before I go any further, I've got to say a big good morning to Margaret Dawson, who's in Lucan in Dublin, in Ballyohaclea. Good morning, Margaret. Margaret is a painter, and one of the things she likes to paint most is dogs. She likes painting dogs. Good morning. What about Graham Linehan then, eh? Before we look at the newspapers, Graham Linehan, the television writer and comedian, most famous for Father Ted, but he's done a lot of successful things. He's been kicked off of Twitter over trans women. There you are. It's a bit more complicated. Well, it isn't. It's trans women. He's been permanently suspended from Twitter because he breached their rules on banned words. I'm reading from The Guardian from yesterday. Molly Blackall, there's a great surname these days, Molly Blackall, was writing in The Guardian, and she said Twitter suspended and then permanently suspended Linehan and his Twitter handle at Glinner because of repeated violations of our rules against hateful conduct and platform manipulation. Apparently he repeatedly tweeted, "Men aren't women, though." The bastard! I mean, that's just hateful. It's outrageous. Stone him! Men aren't women. Nobody should be saying that today. It's wrong. And he said it so many times, they got rid of him. The last time he did it was in response. In response to a post by the Women's Institute, wishing their transgender members a happy pride. This is pride season, you see. Ordinarily now we'd be, Manchester would be taken over by gay people parading around on floats, waving. Some gay people waving, nice people. Some rather sick and perverse people dressed up in puppy costumes with visible erections and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. This goes on at Pride, even Manchester Pride. I know it's not all gay people, but it does go on. Rather disgusting stuff. If you only knew my fetishes, you'd say, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, you big baldy bastard. And I would say, yes, yes. But I keep my filthy fetishes to my own bedroom. I don't parade them around the streets. I'm ashamed of my filthy fetishes, so I keep them to myself. So anyway, he said, men aren't women, though, and that was it for him. Day-day, as we say to children in Ireland. Day-day, bye-bye, he's gone. There is something about Linehan, though, that, well, it smacks of hypocrisy. Because apparently Graham, and this has been proven, took great delight when the Twitter accounts of some white supremacists in the United States of America were cancelled. Now, I might be bald, I might have a skinhead, but obviously no white supremacist am I. I have no truck with white supremacists. I think they're a bunch of idiots. Of course. Muppets. Morons. But you're either for free speech and freedom of expression, or you're not, Graham. But he's gone from Twitter, and Julia Hartley Brewer of talk radio fame is leading the charge to have him reinstated. I wonder, will there be a case eventually? I wonder, will a celebrity or somebody with some money eventually take them to court somehow and say, listen, the fact is men aren't women though. Right? And if your biological sex is male, you are a male. Yes, you might feel like you're a woman and that's all fine and dandy, but the rest of us don't have to go along with it. What the rest of us should do is leave you alone. But it's a two-way street. How about leaving us alone as well, you mad bastards, eh? Sunday morning, the 28th of June. Sunday View, live from Salford in Greater Manchester. It's a very interesting story in the Mail on Sunday. I've got so much to get through today, and I'm going to try and fit it in by midday. Before we get to the front pages, here's a story in the Mail on Sunday. Outrage as paedophiles rebrand themselves as minor attracted persons in chilling online propaganda drive. If you're old enough now, this will hark back echoes here of the paedophile information exchange. Paedophiles are, well, they're making a comeback. Enabled, of course, by the fact that paedophilia is rampant within the wealthy classes, the aristocracy and the political classes. It is rampant. Of course it is. Politicians don't see anything wrong. Well, of course, some of them do. But a lot of politicians don't see anything wrong with being attracted to children. Here's the story in the Mail on Sunday. That might sound like a very bold statement. It might sound very dangerous. But it's a fact. Britain's most notorious child sex offenders are using mainstream websites such as YouTube, Twitter and Instagram to rebrand paedophilia as a harmless sexual preference. This is a brilliant bit of journalism by the Mail on Sunday. On the one hand, Graham Linehan can be kicked off Twitter for saying men aren't women though, but paedophiles are operating openly on Twitter. And if you don't believe me, let me throw a nod in the direction of Hayden Hewitt, my friend and colleague, the co-founder of LiveLeak.com, Manchester's narkiest, grumpiest bastard, right? Top man. He's doing a lot of work on this. Watch him closely. They're everywhere on Twitter. Paedophiles. Engaging in conversations with people. Openly saying, yeah, I'm attracted to children, but I don't act on it. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. So hundreds of disturbing accounts are being set up every day which refer to both potential and prolific abusers as MAPs, minor attracted persons, to escape the stigma attached to the word paedophile. The anonymous users have even created their own rainbow MAP pride flag, with some arguing they should be celebrated as a niche group just like the LGBT community. Let's celebrate our identity. What's that? We're filthy bastards who fantasize about having sex with children. We should be celebrated. Ah, okay. Why not? You see, this madness eventually reaches its inevitable conclusion, you see. So, material has been found online by the Mail proclaiming gay MAPs are amazing. Gay MAPs, gay minor attracted persons, are amazing. And cartoon characters saying, repost if you think MAPs should be able to date minors. Yes. That story's in the Mail on Sunday. If you want to read it in more detail, dailymail.co.uk. Won't cost you a penny. Won't cost you a penny to read it. Loads of interesting stuff in the press. Tell you what, 10 past 11. This is Sunday View. It's a more relaxed approach to the Richie Allen radio show. In memory of Graham Linehan. Let's have some music from Neil Hannon and the Divine Comedy. because this is the BBG. It ain't the BBC. My name is Richie Allen. It's plain to see. Good to be with you this Sunday morning, live from Salford. I do keep your tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I'll be reading them out as I go along. When we come back, it's straight to the front pages of the Sunday newspapers. Good morning. Yes. Yes, I say. Yes, it's hard to get by when your arse is the size of a small country. And of course, the connection there is Divine Comedy did the theme tune for Father Ted. If you've not seen Father Ted, if you're in America or Outer Mongolia, get onto YouTube. There are lots of episodes of Father Ted there. Or Hat Trick Productions might prefer that I direct you to buy the box sets, the DVDs. BBG, fair enough. Good morning. Before we keep saying this, before we do the papers. Hi to Martin, who says, Richie, Linehan is like Hitchens in that he might complain about his own deplatforming while not worrying about others who have shared the same unjust fate. Sooty says, when are the pubs opening? Going mad here. Next Saturday. You won't catch me anywhere near a pub next Saturday. I won't be told to sit in ridiculous circumstances in a pub with my back to other people and giving my name, my address and my telephone number to a barmaid, no matter how comely she might be. I don't care if she's got tits the size of Yorkshire. I'm not giving her my phone number. Sorry about that. Hi to Mwinga. Now, sadly, that Linehan has gone over the trans issue, is Rowling going to be next, or is she too big to suspend on this platform? Pedophiles operating with impunity on Twitter. But people who don't believe that men are women, well, you know the way it is. Hi to David Stanford, soon to be a protected minority. A pedophile says, David, I hope not. Hi to Base Ninja, who should be working like mad for Pride. Base Ninja, you see, musician, sound expert there. But the no mass gathering thing, the lockdown thing, means that very little is happening. Radio Q says, perhaps we should all boycott Twitter, as clearly it's not about freedom of expression or the exchange of information, unless it's in the confines of the narrative, of course. Very good. And lots more tweets coming in. You can engage with people by going to Richie Allen on Twitter. You know how it works. Mail on Sunday, front page, big photograph there of the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson doing press-ups or push-ups, as they call them, across the pond. He can be seen face down at number 10, presumably doing press-ups. The headline, Billions to Get Britain Booming. The story is, Johnson will promise a building blitz. He will give a speech on Tuesday where he will talk about building hospitals, building schools, building houses, redeveloping and improving infrastructure, spending tens of billions of pounds, and this will save the economy. Disaster capitalism, dear listener. When you manufacture a disaster, then you and your mates profit from it. It's a thing of beauty. The front page of The Observer, jobless total to hit 1980s levels without fresh state support. The Observer leads with warnings from the Labour Party that unemployment could soar to levels not seen in 40 years. Unless ministers boost support for struggling businesses. The Labour Party supports the extending of the furlough scheme. It does. If you don't believe me, watch a rerun of the Andrew Marr show. Ed Miliband, whom we will hear from in a few minutes' time, was on with Marr, and he wants to extend the furlough scheme. Yes, let's keep spending millions upon squillions of pounds on people to stay home and scratch their arses and drink carryouts from their local corner shop. Let's do that. Hey, listen, I'm all in favour of doing that for the entire world. If you don't borrow that money from predatory central banks to whom it must be paid back. This is the problem, you see. That's the Observer. Let's scroll on down to the Sunday Telegraph. PM to oust top Mandarin in Whitehall Revolution. This is about the UK's top civil servant, a man called Sir Mark Sedwill, looks set to announce his departure next week. And importantly, on the front page of the Telegraph is the story, lockdown could weaken natural defences against new viruses. We will come back to that. Sunday Times leads with, kill donors £1 billion deal, officials begged minister. What's it about? It's about Robert Jenrick, the housing secretary, and shady deals, dear listener. Filthy deals, dear listener. He granted permission for a luxury housing development to a guy called Richard Desmond. My Irish listeners' ears, well, they won't be pricking up. They probably know about this story already. It's been a story for a week now or more. And the Sunday Times reports the Jenrick overruled the objections from civil servants and lawyers to push it through for his new buddy Richard Desmond. Now, a government official told the Sunday Times the decision-making process was thorough and there was no question of bias. Separately, the Times reports the government is preparing to impose the first local lockdown after a surge in coronavirus cases in Leicester. So local lockdowns, watch them carefully. But on the shady deal and the billionaire developer Richard Desmond, the Home Secretary Priti Patel was on the media round this morning. She was on the Maher show, that's Andrew Maher, and he asked her this about developers and planning permission and, well, the stink of it all.
Run through the very basic facts about this case that we can I think, agree about, which, first of all, that Mr. Jenrick did sit next to Mr. Desmond, sent him texts, and he tried to arrange a meeting with him. Second, that the developer, Mr. Desmond, asked him for a quick decision so he could avoid paying millions to what he called a Marxist council. Third, that Mr. Jenrick decided to do exactly what the developer wanted, against the advice of his own officials. And finally, that 2 weeks later, Mr. Desmond donated £12,000 to the Conservatives. Is all of that a coincidence?
Well, look, I haven't followed the details of every single decision of this, but what I do know and what I can tell you is that the correspondence, the documentation is out in the public domain on this particular application, and rightly so. It's a significant decision, a significant application. It has been, the papers are published, the Secretary of State has followed all issues around transparency. It's been discussed in Parliament a number of times. Questions have been answered on this. And the matter is deemed to be closed. This goes through a quasi-judicial process. So I think on that basis, the documentation is in the public domain.
I suppose it's the phrase, is deemed to be closed. The Prime Minister said the matter's closed. But lots of people, not just Marxist councils or Labour Party people, looking at this just don't like the smell. Let me read to you what the Daily Mail, one of your great supporters, has said about this case. Why on earth is Robert Jenrick still in his post? His decision to force through permission for a controversial housing development planned by a billionaire Conservative donor may not have been illegal, but it stinks to high heaven. If he had any sense of propriety, he would have resigned immediately after the deeply incriminating texts revealed his cosy relationship with the developer. That phrase, stinks to high heaven, is what a lot of people look at this and feel.
Yes, it does stink. Pretty?
We'll look at this and feel.
But at the same time, there's been transparency around all of this in terms of documentation and correspondence. And I think that's right. The public would expect that. And it's through that process of transparency that the matter's now been deemed to be closed.
It's not closed. Forgive me for confusing my Irish listeners. I've got a million things going around in my brain. This has got nothing to do with Dermot Desmond. Forgive me. In Ireland, this is Richard Desmond, a Jewish businessman in London. Yeah. It stinks to high heaven, of course it does. Attending fundraisers. Billionaires attending fundraisers with politicians in senior cabinet roles, showing them videos while sitting next to them. Right? Showing them videos of their plans and urging them to help, urging the politicians to help the business people avoid millions and millions of pounds in expenditure by rushing through their development plans. It stinks. I mean, it was ever thus, really. I remember being a reporter in Waterford, producing the mid-morning talk show at my radio station there in Waterford, and hearing horror stories about development projects in County Waterford and Waterford City being green-lit by dirty, rotten councillors and city managers and county managers. Brown envelopes all over the place. This is what goes on. And it's only the bloody tip of the iceberg. It's filthy. It's filthy. Let me reiterate, by the way, Richard Desmond, a businessman in London. Yeah. The Desmonds. Nothing to do with Dermot Desmond and the many problems with him. It's a different thing entirely. Irish Dermot Desmond. Now, let's move on. Before we dispense with Priti Patel, she was asked by Andrew Marr about the gatherings, you know, the street parties and the raves and the Liverpool fans. Are they being irresponsible for enjoying themselves? Is it being very irresponsible to be out and about having fun in the sun? I think this is taken from the Sophie Ridge programme because Patel has been everywhere today. Are we being irresponsible?
Well, I think it's important that the public realise that this virus has not disappeared at all. I've said this many times. The Prime Minister has, all my colleagues across government, our scientific advisers have made this point too. We're living with the virus. We are still in a health emergency and a health pandemic. Now, of course, as we unlock and reopen society, we're doing that with very clear measures and parameters around social distancing, but also hygiene measures as well.
So are people, specifically on the question, are people acting irresponsibly when you can see them on beaches and so on, when they're not observing social distancing?
People need to follow the guidance that we have put in place, and that's absolutely right.
Are they irresponsible if they don't?
In saying that, the public need to think about other people as well in terms of spreading the virus. They themselves may not know that they could be a carrier of the virus and they could be spreading that within the community and passing that on to other people. I think we all have to take responsibility. We all have to act conscientiously. We have social distancing measures in place for a reason. We've been clear that if you do go out in the public domain, you know, going out is a good thing, but you do that in groups of no more than six people. It is really important that we continue to follow this guidance. I cannot think of anything worse than us having another wave of this awful disease that would then result in more lockdowns, local lockdowns, and of course that means we'll be retreating back after the big gains that we have made across the country. We don't want to see that.
Local lockdowns, maybe beginning in Leicester. This is the new thing. It will be the new thing. Hey, in Salford there, you've got to stay indoors because there's a few more cases in Salford. This is, I'm not going to say the T word. I'm going to get through the programme without saying the T word. 26 minutes past the hour. Let's, there's one more front page and it's related. It's on the front page of the Sunday People. The headline is Prem Star in COVID Party Probe. This is a report that Watford Football Club Premier League is investigating after a video emerged on the internet of their striker Andre Gray celebrating his birthday with 20 pals, huh? The rotter, huh? What a selfish bastard, huh? He had a birthday, did he? And he invited his mates around, did he? I mean, come on, you know? Won't somebody please think of the rest of us? Crazy stuff, this. Crazy stuff. 26 minutes past the hour. Let me do this. I'll come back. I've got something to tell you. And then we'll move right on. Lots of interesting stuff still to come on the Richie Allen Radio Show Sunday View.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Welcome back to the program. I just want to say a big thanks to Mark Bajerski because over the last few days, I didn't know about it until Friday. But he's basically raffled a beautiful collection of Buddhas. and he's invited people to send a donation of £5 to the radio programme. And I've given him the names and have given him all the names up until now. And this morning he makes a draw, and the winner will get a beautiful collection of Buddhas to raise money for the programme. And it's raised around somewhere between £450 and £500 for the radio show. That's Mark Bajerski. MarkBajerski.com was a great friend of mine and a very unselfish, a very selfless individual indeed. So huge thanks to him for doing that. And regardless of that, I'd be urging you to check out Mark Bajerski on YouTube, on his YouTube channel. Find him on Facebook, because there's a lot to be learned from him and the work he's doing. He's a great guy. So huge thanks to him. When I get a name, I'll announce it. But thanks again to Mark. That's MarkBajerski.com. Before we get in depth, before we go deep into one or two stories this morning, it is a Sunday. Let's have another tune. This is a nice little ditty from Morrissey about jealousy, and I love it. Can't beat a bit of jealousy, a bit of envy. Keep out your tweets coming in at Richie Allen Show. This is Life from Salford. We hate it when our friends become successful. Yes, Morrissey, We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful, from the album Your Arsenal, from I think 1992, is it? I can be corrected there. Good morning to Chris Clough. How you doing, Chris? Anything to Brian? Hey, old Big Ed. Here's a story in the Sunday Times. Well, it's vaudevillian. Let us spray. Cathedral choir sings out in hymn safety test. Yes. It has been determined that in order to write off? In order to green light, we've used that term already this morning, in order for choirs to begin singing again at Sunday services around the country, it's important that we do a test and see just how far their spittle is projecting. Because remember, we had a story a few months ago about a choir in America that were dropping like flies because, well, during practice, they were singing too loudly. This is deadly serious. Government scientists, according to the Sunday Times, are measuring the spittle and spray from singers to judge if hymns can be sung in church from next Saturday. Oh, I wish it was bullshit, but it ain't. It's true. Absolutely true. They're measuring spittle and spray, and they will determine then whether it is okay for the choirs to sing. What did they sing? I've not been to church for donkey's years. What did they sing? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. I remember that one. I remember He is Lord. He is Lord. I remember He is Lord. It was an easy one to remember because it just basically was He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee, every tongue confess. So they're going to measure the spittle and determine what levels of spittle are okay. I wish I was bullshitting, but I'm not. Oh, God. Oh, God, that I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space. Right, the Sunday Telegraph this morning: prolonged periods of lockdown cocooning the public from germs could actually leave people dangerously vulnerable to new viruses. Who says that? Well, Sunetra Gupta, the professor of theoretical epidemiology at Oxford University. She's been a real thorn in the side of the establishment. Yeah, because she's been calling bullshit on the lockdown from day one. But the broadcast media has been avoiding her like the plague. Avoiding her the way we avoided the queasy kid on bus trips in primary school. I'm not sitting next to Billy. They don't want to talk to her. This is a major article in the Sunday newspapers today. Was Sunetra Gupta on Sky? Was she on the BBC? Feck no, she wasn't. She's calling bullshit on the lockdown. And she's also saying that the lockdown is actually going to weaken the immune system. Yes. You might remember back in, well, back when Ferguson, Neil Ferguson of Imperial College, Mr. Lockdown, was telling everybody that if we didn't lock down, 500,000 people would die. Right? She was saying, well, no, that's bullshit. And of course, recently, and it hasn't been reported widely in the media, recently, Ferguson, Neil Ferguson, who got the sack after he broke lockdown to have it off with his bit on the side, Ferguson has admitted that... I mean, this is properly annoying, this shit, right? Ferguson has admitted that despite not having a lockdown, Sweden has achieved about the same rate of suppression of coronavirus as the UK. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But don't expect to see Sunetra Gupta on the television or on the radio. No, no. No. Now, Bill Gates appeared on CNN again on Thursday evening. The mask is slipping. This is very important. Have a listen to two cuts from the interview. And please do share this with your friends. Bill Gates tells Anderson Cooper about the challenges of getting the vaccine to defeat COVID. So, Bill, what are the challenges of getting this vaccine to market? Bill Gates.
The big problems are safety and efficacy. And phase three trials are very complex to do. And you may see, you know, a safety signal that forces you to try out in a broader set of people. You know, the two constructs, both Fauci and I, are very hopeful that they'll work. I talk to him regularly, more often than he talks to some other people. So...
I talk to Fauci regularly. And of course, you know, back in the days when we had journalists, you'd be jumping in there and challenging that. Who the fuck are you, Bill, that you should be talking to Trump's senior advisor, senior medical advisor on coronavirus? What's it to you? But they don't. They make light of it.
You've talked to him in the last 2.5 weeks?
Yeah.
It's funny, huh? Isn't it funny that a billionaire software developer has basically got an open line to Anthony Fauci? Just have a good laugh about it. Don't investigate it, whatever you do.
The last 2.5 weeks?
Yeah. And, you know, he's fantastic. And his view of the chances and our view are very aligned. We're seeing the same data. We're sharing the same data.
Well, his view is aligned with yours, Bill, because you're telling him what to do. It's obvious, right? It's beyond obvious that you're in control of what Fauci is telling Trump.
So I have a lot of hope for those two constructs. If the safety and efficacy is there, the factory piece is being done. The cost of those two vaccines, the ability to scale up production, is very, very strong. And the logistics in the U.S. are not an issue at all. We can get this thing out there. Now, you'll have a choice of whether you take the vaccine or not. So there's that final hurdle.
Final hurdle. So what about the final hurdle? He says there will be a choice, clearly, as to whether you ingest it or take it or not. That's a hurdle, he says. So the guys ask him next about vaccine hesitancy.
The issue that you've dealt with, that you alluded to earlier, is vaccine hesitancy, you know, for all sorts of different reasons. And you know, I don't know if you've seen some of the recent data, but they say, you know, 30% of people may already have vaccine hesitancy when it comes to this particular vaccine. And, you know, it's one of these things where we're rushing and celebrating the speed at which things are going. And for scientists, that's exciting. For people who are already a little hesitant about vaccines, it makes them even more nervous. So how do you balance that when talking about this vaccine or a vaccine?
Well, it's understandable that because of the urgency of this, the, you know, the amount of time that you'll be out looking at it is just going to be less. And, you know,
we're going to take massive risks. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that vaccines in 2020 are inherently safe anyway, regardless of whether they take 6 months to develop them or 3 years. I don't believe in them. in 2020. I wouldn't take one for all the money in the world, personally. Right. That doesn't mean I'm anti-vaccine. It means that I do not believe, in fact, I do believe that for some considerable length of time, safety has been, well, it's a distant memory when these things are being developed, right? So I wouldn't take one. So he's basically saying, well, you know, we're going to be rushing this basically effectively, and well, maybe you can understand that there's a little bit of concern about it, right?
For scientists, really understanding, okay, were the trial populations, including all these different groups, and, you know, what, how low does the age range go? You know, do we look, how do you feel about pregnant women in it?
How low does the age range go? How do you feel about pregnant women? Gates is effectively putting on the table the possibility that you vaccinate in the uterus. And I'm not reading anything into that. I'm not sensationalizing it. This is what Gates is saying, effectively.
How low does the age range go? You know, do we look, how do you feel about pregnant women in it? What about the elderly? It's a challenge to get that safety database to build up the confidence. And, you know, so you could actually know about some profile and be putting the vaccine out there and then do further studies on other profiles. Anyway, the
Gates wants to put it out there into the population while they're still studying its effect on what he calls other profiles. Let's put it out there and give it to everybody. And while we're doing that, we'll basically still be in safety testing.
I do think most people will take this. If it's a great vaccine, including the transmission blocking, everyone will benefit from the fact that 70-80% of the people will take the vaccine. You know, we should be able to get herd immunity if you get up to that level. And, you know, so it really could then.
This is anti-medicine. This is anti-science. Herd immunity is acquired in society through a virus or a bug basically spreading out amongst the population. Because these things are ineffective against 90%+ of the population. Most people will get these viruses and be none the wiser. They won't even be aware they have them. And that's how herd immunity works. Not through injecting people with toxic pus. This is anti-science, of course. And Sunetra Gupta is saying this. Read the Sunday Telegraph article today. It's in great detail. This is how you get herd immunity. People get it. They build up antibodies to it. And eventually it becomes ineffective, the virus does, against society. And it has less and less and less of an effect over time. Yes, the very old, the very frail, and the very sick are vulnerable. Of course they are. But they always were against viruses. This is anti-science. This gets spooky around about here.
And really exponentially drop the numbers. But we need that for the entire world.
Need it for the entire world.
If we're going to go back and, you know, have people taking vacations, international students, international sports events.
There's the threat. It isn't even implied. There's the threat. If 80% of the global population doesn't take the vaccination, we ain't going back to normal anytime soon.
And, you know, so it really could then really exponentially drop the numbers. But we need that for the entire world. If we're going to go back and, you know, have people taking vacations, international students, international sports events. So it'll take a while till we get this thing finished off on a global basis.
Finished off on a global basis, eh? Those were the choice cuts from Gates' interview on CNN on Thursday. I mean, it's unbelievably evil. I could spend hours talking to you about Bill Gates. I've done it before on programs going back years, long before coronavirus. The independent media has been sounding the alarm about Bill Gates. listen to people like Vandana Shiva, who's been on this program, but not for a few years now, an amazing woman in India, who said that Bill Gates Foundation, through its promotion of chemical fertilizers and genetically modified seeds, basically represents the greatest threat to farmers in the developing world. Long before we were talking about vaccines with Gates. Last year, a group called Global Justice Now produced an unimpeachable report on Gates, which said, and I quote, that his foundation, far from a neutral charitable strategy, is about benefiting big business, especially in agriculture and health, through ideological commitment to promote neoliberal economic policies and corporate globalization. This guy donates billions of dollars, I've been telling you this now for years, to thousands of universities, colleges, massive pharmaceutical companies. He's the largest single financial contributor to the World Health Organization. And what does that mean? Well, it means he's basically acquired unprecedented influence over health policy, not just in America, but in countries all over the world. I was talking to the oft-mentioned future missus about this, and I said, basically what Gates has managed to do is effectively make himself the chief executive officer of Planet Earth Health Incorporated. Planet Earth Health Inc. And he's used charity to do it. Using charity to do what he couldn't do without it, if you understand. Using charity to shape public policy. Bill Gates. And of course, when you see how much money he's donated to media organisations around the world, it becomes, I suppose, apparent why he isn't called out on this when he's on CNN or the BBC. Why they're not calling him out on it. I said to a friend of mine recently, the SEC in America, the Securities and Exchange Commission, have got a stone-cold, lock-tight case against Gates for fraud. How, you're asking? Massive fraud. Gates invests billions of pounds in certain corporations, right? Before those corporations are gifted money from his own foundation. And then Gates uses his own political connections and influence to approve further grants to the new corporations that he's been investing in, buying shares in, and giving money to. He then gets government grants and government projects given to those companies, and he's quids in. Where is the SEC? It's obvious, right? Gates is an arch criminal. He's a gangster. And it's not his agenda. Gates is a front man. It's not his agenda. Let's move on very quickly. Very important, this Rebecca Long Bailey is a Salford and Eccles MP. She is the MP for Salford and Eccles. And the other day, she was stupid enough to retweet an article, yes, an interview with the actress Maxine Peake. Now, Maxine Peake gave a lengthy interview to the Independent newspaper about a lot of things. Tearing down capitalism, and Jeremy Corbyn, and all of that jazz. So what did Rebecca Long Bailey do? Well, she retweeted the article. That's all she did. I'm going to read you a little bit from the article. As we speak, this is Maxine Peake in conversation with the Independent. As we speak, Black Lives Matter protesters are out on the streets after yet another killing of an unarmed black man, George Floyd. She goes on to talk about racism. And she then says, the tactics used by the police in America, kneeling on George Floyd's neck, that was learned from seminars with Israeli secret services. That's what she said in the article. It was published. Rebecca Long Bailey retweeted it, and then she was fired as Shadow Education Secretary by the leader of the Labour Party, Keir Starmer. Later on, the Independent amended its own article by putting in the line, a spokesperson for the Israeli police has denied this, stating that there is no tactic or protocol that calls to put pressure on the neck or airway. But Long Bailey was fired. Now, former Labour Party leader Ed Miliband, who's the shadow business secretary these days and Jewish himself, was on with Andrew Marr, and Marr asked him this.
Was it right that Rebecca Long Bailey was sacked?
It was. It's important to explain why, because Rebecca is a very decent person. But the reason why it was a problem, the Maxine Peake interview, so the original interview and what Rebecca then tweeted, is not that it had a criticism of the state of Israel. I'm a big critic of what the Israeli government has done on a number of occasions. It's that it was a false criticism of the state of Israel, linked, or rather the Israeli Defence Force.
Let's just stop that. Before we hear the rest of that, listen to the lies of Ed Miliband. Listen.
The Maxine Peake interview, so the original interview and what Rebecca then tweeted, is not that it had a criticism of the state of Israel. I'm a big critic of what the Israeli government has done on a number of occasions.
I can't find any incident where there's been any serious criticism of Israel by Ed Miliband. Now, I'm not saying there isn't, but I've looked for it and I can't find it. Former Labour leader, brother of David Miliband, huge friends of the Clintons. I can't find any examples of where he's criticised Israel. But let's just say he has. I've been a huge critic of some of the things the Israeli government has done. What did you do about it? Did you call for sanctions? Did you call for a cessation of business between the UK and Israel until Israel stopped bulldozing Palestinian homes, until it stopped its illegal settlements? Or did you just say, I'm against the settlements? Of course, Andrew Marr doesn't ask him.
It's that it was a false criticism of the state of Israel, linked, or rather the Israeli Defence Force, linked to the death of George Floyd, wrongly, saying that somehow the tactics that had killed George Floyd had been learnt from the Israeli Defence Force. Let me explain what this is an important point.
But it's true, though. It's true. And I tweeted 20 or 30 articles on Friday from mainstream newspapers in the United States, from human rights organisations like Amnesty and others, who have provided material evidence to support the contention that US police forces have become exponentially more violent in dealing with US citizens, having returned from training sessions in Israel. And you are talking about thousands of police officers from all over the country have gone to Israel to learn basic, not just basic policing techniques, but to learn restraint, arrest, subduing a suspect. It's happened. Listen to the rest of what he says.
And the problem is that over the centuries, when calamitous things have happened, Jews have been blamed.
Nobody's blaming Jews for the death of George Floyd, you see. What Maxine Peake said is there's evidence that policing techniques in Israel have been exported through training sessions which have taken place in the tens of thousands, and these things go on. There's a million videos of Israeli police officers and IDF soldiers kneeling on the necks of Palestinians on the ground. Right? Nobody's saying the Jews have got anything to do with it. This is bullshit.
And that's why there was an anti-Semitism.
There's no anti-Semitism. The truth is not an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. It isn't. The fucking truth is the truth. This is how dangerous things have become now. Stone cold facts can be dismissed by people like him as anti-Semitism or bigotry. And there's no challenge to it. Marr should be challenging him. That's his job as a BBC presenter. He should be saying, listen, we've seen images. These defence forces. The least they are doing to the Palestinians is kneeling on their necks, man. They take pot shots at them from illegal fences. They shoot medics who come to aid those that have been shot. They're the worst bastards on planet Earth, the IDF. And we're sending police officers, captains and instructors from all over the bloody world to learn how to be brutal bastards. Because the truth is, the police has evolved Far from being an organisation there to protect and serve the people, police forces are increasingly around the world becoming basically an occupying force where the people are seen as the enemy. The people. Listen to police officers on television in the UK, former police officers on radio. Listen to them in America using words more and more commonly like front line. What the fuck does that mean? Our officers are on the front line. Don't you mean that they're in the community? That they're in the community engaging with people? What the fuck is the front line? Are you saying they're at war with civilian populations? Well, that's what they are saying. And there is at least a dozen peer-reviewed studies to show that police forces in the United States have become more violent, more aggressive, and more brutal since the policy to farm out, to contract out training to companies in Israel. It's a fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is an anti-Semitism. And to be fair to Marr, he does ask Ed Miliband, he says, well, the interview with Maxine Peake was a very long interview, which talked about a lot of things. So maybe it's a big overreaction to fire Long Bailey just because Peake talked about the Israeli police and all of that. Big overreaction, and Miliband says this.
I don't think it was an overreaction. I don't think there can be a sense of overreaction when you know the scale of the problem we face. And the problem about the interview, and I've met Maxine Peake as well, who I think is a perfectly decent person, but the problem, and Maxine Peake has apologised. Yeah, and I think that's significant, because I think the problem about it was it's the casualness of it that is, in a way, the problem. A terrible thing happens to George Floyd, and the Israeli Defense Force is somehow singled out. I think Britain has trained has had exchanges with American police forces, but Britain wasn't singled out. And I think, and that's why we've got to be incredibly vigilant on these issues.
See, not everybody in your party agrees with that, do they? Because John McDonnell, very senior figure in the party, former shadow chancellor, he says, it's always been said criticism of practices of Israeli state is not anti-Semitic. I don't believe, therefore, that this article is, or Rebecca Long-Bailey should have been sacked. I stand in solidarity with her.
Sure, well, there's obviously a disagreement, and Keir's the leader. But, you know, honestly, I'm a big critic of the state of Israel. Look, there were parts of the Jewish community that didn't like lots of the things I said about Israel when I was leader.
He never said a word about Israel when he led the Labour Party. At least not that I can find, anyway. Please prove me wrong. When did Miliband ever make a stance against Israel when he was Labour leader? I cannot find any audio clips. I can't find any addresses to Parliament. And even if he did, well, then what? What do you do about it? Do you stand there and say, oh, it's terrible what the Israelis are doing? Or do you do something about it? Do you sanction them back to the Stone Age? No. Listen, we'll leave it there for today. That's been the Richie Allen Radio Show Sunday View for Sunday mornings, the 28th of June. Lots going on. In the world, of course, lots of really good guests lined up and booked in for next week, this coming week, I should say. So join me tomorrow at 5 o'clock UK time for the Richie Allen Radio Show. That's 5 o'clock UK time for Monday's Richie Allen Radio Show. Until then, thanks for listening. Closing out with Andy Williams. Bit of Andy Williams to close the programme out today. Thanks again to Mark Bajerski, markbajerski.com. Top man, Mark. You're just too good to